The president made a rare appearance at the Pentagon today for this press conference and also a time for Leon Panetta and General Martin Dempsey to lay out a sort of a new military strategy. Greg Jaffe, military reporter for The Washington Post, was there. Greg, the biggest question did seem to be, as Adil just said, will the U.S. be able to fight two wars at one time? Tell us what the response to that was.
Well, I mean, General Dempsey was pretty clear that the answer to that would be that they would be able to fight more than one war at a time. You know, I think the question becomes how large a war, you know, to what extent do you want to prevail? How quickly do you want to prevail? I mean, of course they want to prevail. How quickly do you expect to prevail? But Dempsey, General Dempsey, the Chairman and Joint Chiefs of Staff, was pretty clear that this was going to be a military that was going to be able to do more than one thing at once.
I think I wrote down the words that I said in the portion that I heard where he said, I know your question is, will we be able to confront more than one enemy and defeat them? Yes, we will. But as we just heard Adil Najam say, he's a Pakistani expert who was visiting with us, you didn't get to choose your war. I mean, when the reports first floated that the thinking of the new military was they'd be able to fight one major war but then hold other conflicts at bay, you know, the question is, well, you don't get to choose who decides to pick a war with you. And, of course, in the background is Iran. You know, the thinking was if you say you're going to only fight one war at a time, if you're fighting a war with Afghanistan, what do you do if someone else provokes a war? Was that question directly put to them?
No, I don't think it was. I do think you're right. You don't get to choose your wars, but you do get to choose how you fight them, and you do get to choose the goals. You know, in Iraq and Afghanistan, we've had very expansive goals with these wars, which is part of the reason why they've cost so much and they've dragged on so long. You know, we've essentially committed ourselves to rebuilding societies, particularly in Afghanistan, where we're essentially building a society from almost nothing. You know, so you do get to choose how you fight them. You know, if you compare Iraq and Afghanistan to Libya, the difference is pretty stark. You're right, if you get into a large-scale conflict with a country like Iran or something in Pakistan, which would be incredibly messy, you know, all bets are off at that point. But, you know, to be frank, I think we're in real trouble if we find ourselves in those sorts of situations.
Leon Panetta, though, did address this question. Let's listen.
The United States must have the capability to fight several conflicts at the same time. We are not confronting, obviously, the threats of the past. We are confronting the threats of the 21st century. And that demands greater flexibility to shift and deploy forces to be able to fight and defeat any enemy anywhere. How we defeat the enemy may very well vary across conflicts. But make no mistake, we will have the capability to confront and defeat more than one adversary at a time.
Greg Jaffe, again, military reporter for The Washington Post. They seem pretty firm in this.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's a mistake to look at these cuts as so massive. I mean, President Obama was pretty interesting and pretty blunt in his speech to open it up. He said, you know, over the next 10 years, the growth in the defense budget will slow. But the fact of the matter is that the overall defense budget, you know, is not going to shrink by a lot. In fact, these cuts are to planned growth. And that, you know, we're still going to have a defense budget that's, you know, larger than it was through much of the Bush administration. So, you know, it's going to continue to be a massive defense budget. It's going to continue to be more than, you know, virtually the rest of the world spends combined. So it's a mistake to think of this as, you know, cutting to the bone.
We're talking to Greg Jaffe, military reporter for The Washington Post, who's just come from a pretty high-level Pentagon meeting. President Obama leading a group of Pentagon leaders as they laid out at least some of new U.S. military strategy. And Greg, there'd been reports prior to today that there'd be fewer ground troops, more Air Force and Navy planes, more carriers, or at least no cuts in carriers to bolster the American presence in Asia. But what about benefits for troops? I think there was a question to General Dempsey. What did they say about a reduction in benefits for troops? Because we'd heard that it's sort of untenable that, you know, the military is looking at the same problem that many states and cities are with pensions and benefits for retirees.
Yeah, particularly health benefits for retirees have been a huge, huge issue that they've really had a hard time controlling and that have really gotten out of control. I mean, they're eating the defense budget and eating into the ability to buy new weapon systems and things of that nature. So that's an issue that's going to have to be addressed. They were short on specifics today, and it's going to be a really contentious process. I mean, part of the problem is the Pentagon's been wanting to cut health care costs and overall compensation for you know, the last decade, but Congress has really pushed back hard against that, and I think there'll be real resistance. We'll, you know, they'll continue to push. I think they'll be get a little bit more receptive of an audience on the Hill with regard to some of these benefit cuts, particularly for retirees, but I wouldn't expect wholesale changes. It's going to be a tough road.
Yeah, very tough, especially with all the wounded from the last two wars. But what about jobs? We talked about a reduction in troops, but what about jobs related to the military? Now, we're reading about yesterday Boeing announcing it's closing its huge military plant in Wichita, Kansas. It's going to break up the divisions and send them in smaller, leaner forms to San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Seattle. Now, we're looking at this plant had 97 buildings covering 2 million square feet, and they were having to compete with other companies that provided maintenance for military planes, and they were operating out of, you know, two airplane hangars, according to the New York Times. As tough as that's going to be for Wichita, just terrible, thousands of jobs lost, and real estate, and good faith lost. They thought Boeing was going to stay. Is this reflecting the new reality?
I mean, it might be. I think we are likely to see continued investment in planes and ships and things of that nature. In fact, you know, as I think part of the trade-off that the Obama administration is making here is cutting the size of the Army and Marine Corps, essentially cutting soldiers and Marines so that they can invest in some new technologies. So, yeah, I mean, I think we are likely to see cuts to weapon systems, particularly the Joint Strike Fighter, which is one of the largest fighter jets and one of the largest weapons programs in Pentagon history. I think we're likely to see that delayed and cut back. But I think we are still going to see pretty significant investment in things like planes and ships.
Well, didn't Leon Panetta also announce that I think it's the F-35 stealth fighter jet will be delayed but not cut?
I didn't see a formal announcement on that, but I think that's generally what's thought to be the case.
I see.
That, you know, it will be delayed. And I think very few people expect that it will be bought in the numbers that we're talking right now. I mean, over time, I think it's likely that it will be cut and scaled back.
And when we talk about troop withdrawal, where else might troops be brought home? You know, a lot of the, well, at least Ron Paul, Republican candidate, is talking about, you know, why do we have troops in Japan, in these other areas? But of course, we see North Korea become a hotspot again. And we hear that the president was adamant that instead of cutting a carrier fleet, I think from 11 to 10, the Times is reporting that President Obama opposed that cut because of the potential flash fires in North Korea and elsewhere. So what's that sense of how troops might be brought home from other countries?
Well, I think Europe is probably, we're going to see some reductions there, particularly in ground forces. If you're going to cut ground forces, I think it's always easier to cut them first in Europe before you start cutting them from bases in the United States, where there are big constituencies to defend them. On the Hill and places. So, I mean, I think we're going to see a significant reduction in Europe on top of the reductions that we've already seen. Beyond that, I think it's hard to know. You know, we don't have a large ground forces presence in Asia, where the cuts are primarily going to be, and so I wouldn't expect big cuts to come out of there. You know, you probably see some cuts in the U.S., I would think, in the Army, particularly to the heavy force, you know, the tanks that are kind of used more in conventional wars, probably see some of that shift to the National Guard, which is a little cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, boy, and which has also been strained. But, Greg Jaffe, what else did you hear today? We've got a couple minutes left here. What jumped out at you? Maybe what did you hear between the lines? Because there weren't a lot of specifics.
I mean, I think the thing that you heard most is that, you know, it's going to be a much more modest foreign policy. A much more modest use of the military. I mean, that was kind of the watchword that jumped out at me. This notion that we're going to use the military to transform societies, you know, to really change the world, I think is, you know, that's what they're pushing back harder on than anything else. That we're going to be much more modest in our goals. Our interventions are going to be shorter and quicker and faster. I think those are the things that they were talking about. The trick is, getting in is a lot easier than getting out, as we've shown in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that once you get in, your goal is to expand and suck in more resources and troops and time. So it's one thing to say it, it's another to do it.
Well, there was also interesting language on scaling back, you know, outside of the familiar spots, innovative methods used in Latin America and Africa. What would that be?
You know, I think the intervention that we had in Uganda recently, you know, with regard to the Lord's Resistance Army, you know, there was an effort there. I think we sent less than 100 special forces to work with the Ugandan military in, you know, kind of driving a dagger into this movement, the Lord's Resistance, meaning which is a largely brutal and criminal movement. I think that's a kind of an example of it. Innovative ways of using small groups of special forces to bolster indigenous forces to help them cohere and fight better.
Greg Jaffe of The Washington Post on today's Pentagon press conference, the president leading it and saying that it will be a leaner U.S. military, but still one of the finest in the world. And we'll continue to follow this story. Greg, thanks so much.
Sure.